beyond the shame of talking about it now, the actual day was so degrading because before that, police had always been here. If accidents happen, if I was robbed, they were there. They were the helpers. I was the victim and they treated me with respect. When they came to arrest me, I was treated in a way that I just think isn't right.
Tracy was the crazy ex. I had heard about how jealous she was of me, even though we had never met. Little did I know that I was about to meet the samest person I know, and the woman who saved my life.
I don't really know what put me in his driveway that day, why I was compelled to go on that day. I really don't understand what was inside my head, except that I wanted closure.
We were just going about our usual business. When I say we, the fella and I. We had been to get some, pick up some groceries and wine for dinner.
So I landed in his driveway. He was not home. His son let me in and we chatted. When he got home, he parked on the road. So my car was in his driveway.
And he said, oh, that's Tracy's car. Now, I didn't really want to talk to Tracy. I had heard that she was the crazy ex. And I believed that.
And he called me from the house to the garage. And he was angry with me for being there. And kept on saying, you know, I'll make an appointment with you. Make an appointment?
After about 5 minutes, they came out and the two of them were standing in the driveway and I could see that they were in conversation.
And in this case, he actually walked into that garage with a tape recorder in his pocket. And that was very hurtful and very surprising when I found that out a few weeks later. We talked and I just wanted to meet Lizelle.
And then he pointed to the car and Tracy headed over to speak to me. He prevented her from speaking to me by closing the door. And it was interesting because I knew that the police were being called because I could see he had his phone out. And it all seemed very dramatic to me.
He threatened to call the police and he did. Well, I backed out and I will admit, I floored it when I hit the road. You know, just, of course, I think any of us would. It was sort of a, ugh, you idiot. But I didn't think anything would come of it.
The whole event really left me with a lot of questions. First of all, I was really stunned by the fact that we were told that Tracy was going to be arrested that night. It seemed mightily disproportionate to the events that had occurred. And it was shocking to me. It was the first time I had ever filled out a police statement. And I remember saying that to the police officer that was there, and he said, welcome to the US, ma'am.
The police arrived at my door and said they had reason to arrest me. And with little explanation as to what it was, and trespassing was what they were telling me it was for, that he had asked me to leave 7 times or something like that, and that wasn't true. He didn't ask me to leave until the very end. But they came, they put handcuffs on me and escorted me out my own house.
So after he left and we knew that Tracy had been arrested, we sat on the couch and I felt like I was in shock. Because I didn't know very much about Tracy at all, other than what I had heard from him, I assumed that she had to be in a very bad place and that she still cared for him and loved him. And so I started to ask a few questions. I asked him if, in fact, he had been intimate with Tracy. And he said that it had only happened one time, and it was at her insistence.
They took me and got me into the jail and left me there for almost 9 hours, freezing, and did the fingerprints, did the mugshots. I now know why mugshots look so bad, because you've been sitting there for 9 freaking hours crying. I can't even imagine what my mugshot looks like. I finally got to my room somewhere around 7 in the morning, and I just sat there crying.
There was a point in the evening where I remember saying, gee, I feel really sorry for Tracy. Gosh, she was going to be in jail. We were told, in fact, we were not told she was in jail. He downloaded an app for his phone, which would tell us the progress of her, where she was in the system at the time. So we knew, you know, if she was in jail, we knew when she was going to be released. And I remember saying, gee, I feel sorry for her. And his answer was quite swift. And it was, I don't.
And I really thought this was a very big mistake. But now, I know that it was the worst day of my life, but it was the turning point of my life.
I received a message via Facebook Messenger from a person that I had known both intimately on a physical and soul level for almost 2 years. I received a message on Facebook Messenger telling me that I was no longer required in his life and that he had found someone new. In fact, it was the same someone new that I had asked him about months earlier.
Narcissists do this every single day. You go from being a victim, which we are, to a perpetrator. You have no rights whatsoever. Just saying, it's not good.
One of the things I read was how a narcissistic person will, once they have a new romantic supply, will literally cut you off. And so the biggest shock of my life was one day having a friend and the next day not.
So one of the reasons that I went to this fellow's house that day was to get closure for me. You see, in December, after being with him for 2.5 years, I found out that he'd been with, I called her door number 2, although she was actually door number 3, if we count Lizelle. I was very upset because one of our mantras, one of our things that we said to each other was that if either one of us wanted to date someone else, then this was over, because it was a safety thing. At 55 years old and being with someone for 2.5 years, we weren't using protected sex. It was something of trust, and I believe that he was being faithful. After I found out about that girl, door number 2, I contacted her, and then I contacted his ex-wife. And his ex-wife had always been the crazy ex-wife, but when I talked to her, she encouraged me to get tested for sexually transmitted diseases. I was frightened at that point. I'm a single mom. My son was gonna graduate college. What would he do without me if something was wrong? And I contacted door number 2 as well. And she ended up with HPV.
A couple of days after I had had my dismissal, so I just, I don't know what you call that. I woke up with a notion, and it was a very strong one, that I would like to contact Tracy and have a chat with her. I often tell people that Tracy saved my life, and I believe that with all my heart. She suggested I go and have myself checked for STDs, and I listened, I heard, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go and do that. And she also suggested, she told me exactly what I needed to be looking for. So I went to my doctor and did just that. As it turned out, I did have a high-risk HPV. And in addition to that, because I had a cervical lesion, I had precancerous cells on my cervix, which then had to be treated.
And it is a very commonly sexually transmitted infection. Very common. It has the ability to cause cervical oral cancer. And I just think that there should be laws against people knowing that they have something and yet spreading it like wildfire. When I first talked to Lizelle, I told her to go and get checked. Because now, 2 out of 3 had gotten this from him. Somehow I dodged the bullet. I'm not really sure how.
And that is why I say Tracy saved my life. Because had I not found that out, or that information had not been given to me at the time that it was suggested to me by the gynecologist that it could well have been too late for them to have treated me successfully.
I bet you never thought we would be sitting here together on this bench.
No, never.
Neither did I. Neither did I.
It's been kind of fun. There's been a lot of fun aspects in us getting together, Tracy and I mean. And the fun aspect of it has been finding out that we have so many similarities. Of course, we're from different places in the world and we have grown up in very different places, but we have very similar tastes, obviously also in men. And hopefully we'll grow from that particular taste, you know, into something a little bit more fitting of both of us.
Healthy. You've been here for a few months.
Yeah.
And we've got some more fun planned, but then she goes back to Australia. And our goal is to maybe write a book, maybe make some courses that can help train people on how to help people.
And just in telling this story, it has been so delightful because I can see it in people's eyes when they know that they're in a dire situation, but they can also see that because we've come through it, and we've come through it with strength and grace, that they have that hope too, that they can really move forward with the same amount of strength and grace, even though they may not know how that will happen just yet. And that's okay. They will find their way in time, but that there is a silver lining.
And I think that it's really important for us to understand that we have the power to define what we stand for. And that's in your responsibility. I want you to look at your relationship. Did you give more than you got?
The one thing that I know I could have done differently was set much better personal boundaries. I feel like I accepted so much less than what I deserve. And that, for that alone, I feel that this is a really important growth curve or growth pattern.
Yeah. For me, as I look at my personal responsibility, so easy as I've had this YouTube channel for a while now and talked to so many people, victims and survivors of narcissist abuse, it's so easy for someone who's in the angry stage to see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And it's so easy to blame the other person instead of looking inward.
Do you suspect that you have been the victim of narcissist abuse? Has a relationship led you to doubt yourself, feel needy, obsessive, or codependent? Has a relationship led you to be confused, feel like you're crazy when you try to make sense of things, or feel empty or drained?
Do you feel mental confusion, anxiety, lack of joy or hope, or have guilt around a relationship? Are you constantly being blamed? Do you experience sleeplessness or night terrors? If you suspect you're dealing with a narcissist, we both encourage you to educate yourselves on the red flags, the patterns, your vulnerabilities of this type of abuse. I've created a website called Narcissist Abuse Support. We'll put the URL below. It's got all kinds of resources, and we've hand-selected and read these books and videos, so visit me there.
And if you're looking for any kind of healing technique or moving beyond blockages in your life, I am an empath and I am an intuitive, and I can be your friend. So visit me at my website. We will put the URL below.
So our unlikely friendship will go on.
Yeah, so cheers to that.